Good morning. Men, when it rains, what?
It pours.
When it rains, it pours. Joy Morton is the founder of the Morton Salt Company. And men, he poured it on when it rained. And the rain, men, is what he called ruinous competition. Not healthy competition, but ruinous competition. It is 1905, and another salt company encouraged Morton to go along with a 56% price hike. Morton knew that this was just wrong, and he decided to deal with competition by being scrupulously honest and outsmarting them, according to his biographers. And his strategy was simply to control inventory by carefully buying up the competition and therefore controlling the market in a healthy sort of way, stabilizing prices, etc. In 1910, Morton controlled one-third of the salt market in the United States. That is how he handled the competition. The question here this morning at On the Border Restaurant is, how do we handle the competition in the kingdom of God? Open your scriptures to the book of Titus, please. Men, the competition for God's agenda, if you want to know what the kingdom of God is, it's God's agenda. That's what he's interested in, right? We all have an agenda. God has an agenda. And the competition for God's agenda, the kingdom of God, in Crete is ruinous. Verse 10 today, Titus, the first chapter, verse 10. For there are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced because they are ruining whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. There are always opposing philosophies to the revealed will of God. Now, the first thing that needs to be said this morning here in our meeting, if you aspire to Christian leadership, Paul says, if you aspire to Christian leadership, you aspire to a noble task. And why is it so noble, men? Why is that such a noble task? Leadership. Nothing happens without it. Have you noticed? In a marriage, a family, a business, nothing happens without it. So the first thing that needs to be said here this morning, if you aspire to Christian leadership, make sure you've got it straight. Remember last time we got together? Verse 9, he must hold firmly, and this is the man who aspires to Christian leadership, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Met with a man recently, and as gently and as tactfully as I could, I told him why he had no confidence that he was going to heaven. He had no confidence, no assurance. He didn't assure me. He didn't assure himself. And I told him why. Because the religious system that he adhered to and listened to and put his confidence in was not holding firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught for 2,000 years. And what is that trustworthy message? What's the elevator version of it? Is that what they're calling it today? The elevator version? What is the trustworthy message? It's real simple, men. Jesus died to save us from our sins. If you really want to net it out, that's it. He died to save us from our sins. And now the competition, see, whom Paul describes as rebellious, usually ambitious for power, not receptive to God's revealed will for life on this earth. God has a plan for life on this earth. And as is true in Crete, it is true today. They usually are good talkers. You see what he says? There are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers. They're usually good talkers. They make sure that they have letters after their names. They like to be called rabbi or doctor or father or reverend. They like that. People like that. Men, and they add to the message. They add to the message. Look at 10 again. There are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. Now, who are the circumcision group? Now, the circumcision, as you know, was an outward sign of the older covenant that God had made with his people under the law. This is one of the things they were obliged to do. Hopefully, it happened when they were a baby. You with me? That was supposed to get a little bit more of a laugh. All right. But now, men, but now, under the new covenant, or what? The new contract, the new deal. We have a new deal with God. We don't have the old covenant, we have the new covenant. They were telling the people that they needed to be circumcised to be right with God. What do you need to be right with God? What do you need to do? In a way, you don't need to do anything. I'm going to overemphasize this a little bit today. You have nothing to do but to trust him and what he's done. Who he is, he's God in the flesh, and what he's done, he's died on the cross for your sin. You have nothing else to do. And I'm making the point a little more strongly. Lee's looking at me here, one of my resident theologians, make sure I don't get heretical here today. So today, who are the modern circumcision group? Who are they? What is the modern equivalent to the circumcision group today? What do you need to do? You have to go to this or that ritual, see? You have to join that committee. You have to give money. Men, the only thing requisite for eternal life, when does eternal life end? Is to know Jesus Christ. To know him. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. All these religious people who are trying to add to the message, see? Everything else is incidental. Everything else is incidental. Christianity, incidentally, is only incidentally a religion. It's a relationship with the living God made possible through the life, death, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. Any other message, man, is deceitful. They are mere talkers and deceivers. And when men listen to the competition, and it's fierce, and become unfocused on their relationship with Jesus, whole households are ruined, he says. Man, I love this. I just love this. This is so true, isn't it? where is the evil going to go? It's not going to go to peripheral activity. It's going to go to the most crucial activity there is, and that's the family and the home. Look what he says here. Especially those of the circumcision group, they must be silenced because they are ruining whole households. That's what happens. I am amazed, and I've been at this, the Lord graciously, as I shared here a couple weeks ago, he graciously saved me 30 years ago, and I've been thinking about these things for about 30 years. I'm amazed how true this is. The impact for good or evil that a man can have on his home, depending on how well he holds to the trustworthy message, albeit with struggles. No easy answers here today. But if you ruin a whole household, what do you eventually ruin? If you go after the building block, the bulwark of society, what do you end up capturing for the prize? Society. Societal disintegration is what the issue is here today in our culture. Societal disintegration is what is happening in our culture today. It's unraveling, right? Paul says these men must be silenced. Now, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, let me suggest some ways. First thing is you take a page out of Bob Voyle's book from last week. Bob Voyle stood up here and gave testimony, and he said he needed more margin in his life. And at least one man that I know of actually came out to the office, took me up on my offer, and came out and bought the book, Margin. Restoring emotional, physical, financial, and time resources to overloaded lives. We have to make time for what is important and not allow ourselves to be sucked into the vortex of this overcommitted culture that we live in. And if we don't, we're going to be part of the problem instead of being part of the solution for this war that's going on for the hearts and minds and families. Okay, that's important. I can't give you this because I promised it to a man who is overloaded, and he asked me to put it aside for him. Secondly, you got to take away the platform of rebellious teachers. One guy told me, very transparently, that in order to keep peace in the family, the extended family, he felt he had to participate in a ministry that was teaching things that they ought not to teach. He felt obligated to do it. The social pressure is real, and I said, okay, I understand that. And what they're telling him at this particular ministry that he's involved in, that he needs to give them 10% of his income. Remember the church lady on Saturday night? You come here to this ministry and you need to give us 10% of your income. What did she used to say? Very convenient. That's a nice business. That's a good business, right? What does he say here? And that for the sake of dishonest gain. That's dishonest. And where you can, so the point is, where you can, cut off the economic support. Don't put too much money in stuff that is not helping people come to know Jesus Christ personally. Don't waste your money, because let me just, I don't want to get off on this, but at the end, the Lord is going to ask you for a stewardship account. What did you do, John, with your time, your talent, and your treasure? Lastly, be smarter than the competition. First of all, don't forget what you're trying to do here. Your ultimate aim is to win them over. Now, this is the kingdom of God. We're not doing this. This is not competition in the sense that it's mean or cruel or anything like that. We're always trying to win people over through love. So in my editorial session last night with my wife, we added that, because I was, see, I get, you know, I get going. I think this is, we're going to make this happen. Joy Morton outsmarted the competition. Last year, the Morton Salt Division of Roman Haas, a corporation out of Philadelphia, the Morton Division did $1 billion in salt. That's a lot of salt. It's not all table salt. There's a lot of salts they use, okay. But in the kingdom, as we become smarter, we have more, as we become smarter, as we become saltier, we have more impact. When we become more knowledgeable, man, a leader is a reader. Read the Bible. Read other books. This was written by an MD who took 10 years to write it. And what he had to do is he had to make a decision. What is my life going to count for? I can go up on this road. I can see 30 people a day, give them each 10 minutes. That's 300 minutes or something like that, okay? I can pull $500,000 out of the practice, or I can go down on this road, the narrow road. I can see 15 people a day. I can spend 15 minutes with them, and I can really help them by spending time with people. 10 years, he wrote the book, Margin. This book is life-changing. Changed Bob Voyle's life. He gave testimony to it last week. It's changed my life. Lastly, spend time with the Lord, men. Work on your relationship with Him and make sure your lifestyle matches your message. Paul says in another place in the New Testament, guard your teaching and your life. Make sure there's no lack of integrity. The challenge today, men, let the Lord give you such a burden for the souls of your wife and your children, your business associates, and those in your wider community that you will silence the competition. Pour it on with love. Let's have prayer together this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your apostle Paul writing to his partner in Crete, Titus, and those words that he wrote somewhere in the 60s, I believe, 50s or 60s. I believe those words are just as applicable today as they were then, and we thank you for that edification for each man here, that he would be the man, the leader that you want him to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.